These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands which he had given their forefathers through Moses. The next verse tells us they didn't pass the test very well. Let's go on to the New Testament reading, the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Part of the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Reading from the epistles. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Now turn back, please, to the Gospel according to John for the reading from the Gospels as we continue on through this study in the Gospel according to John. We're in chapter 13, beginning in verse 31 this morning. John 13, beginning in verse 31. Judas has just gone out. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Verse 36 is the one I'd like to call your attention to particularly this morning. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Now, something happened when Judas left the room there in verse 30. I'm not altogether sure, but the chemistry of the room changed. Now, Jesus says, since that has happened, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him, and God will glorify him, he goes on to say, at once. There's just a breath of relief and fresh air, and events are moving rapidly from here on, and all restrictions have been broken. He's speaking freely. He's no longer having to hold back. Only the family are present. And he knows, and he trusts, and can trust, because the traitor's gone. It's free now. And it all comes out. Chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, the longest single passage of teaching in all of Jesus' teaching. And then, of course, in chapter 17, he prays. Everything that he's taught in 13, 14, 15, 16, he prays in 17. You want a summary of all those other chapters, just pray through that 17th chapter along with Jesus. And Jesus really begins that talk in verse 33, where he says, children, my dear, dear children. Still under instruction, the word means, my dear children, I'll be with you only a little while longer. And then you're going to look for me, and you won't see me anymore. And I've already told the Jews, where am I going? You won't be coming now. I don't know whether you've ever been in a room where a father or a mother called the children together and said, now I'm leaving you. And you're not going to follow me right now. I want this to be very personal this morning. I want you to think in terms of what you're going to say. Some of you, you can't think that. You're just not that old. You just can't make yourself think that far ahead. I want you to try. Some of the rest of us gets a little easier as the years roll around. I want you to think forward to the time, though. What are you going to say? I want you to understand what your parents are going to be saying to you. Children, I'm going to be leaving you very shortly now. And this time you're going to be following me right now anyway. What will you be saying? I keep fairly close tabs with my brother since he's become a Christian, and I enjoy that. But as I was preparing this week, I've had a running assignment, research assignment going on for the last many years. Mother died when I was 3, and I can't remember a thing about her. I don't remember a thing about the family. But as I go back there on these hunting trips, I like to hunt, but there's a lot of time spent with the family back there, and I have a research thing. I'm asking them to tell me about my mother. And each time I go back, they tell me a little bit more. And my brother had just thought of something that hadn't come up, and so he called me right in the middle of my preparation this week, and he said, I need to tell you something about what happened. Mother knew she was going to die, leave this 3-year-old baby behind her. And he says, I need to tell you something I just thought about. She called us in. And then he told us about some of the things that she had said to them while she was in bed just shortly before she died. Well, one of the first things that Jesus said there in the 34th verse, right after he said, now children, I'm going to leave you. In the 34th verse, the one we were talking about and thinking about last week, one of the first things he said to them, now quit your quarreling. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples and you have this kind of love for one another. They'd been quarreling all the way into that upper room that night. Who's going to be number one person? And so he said, now I'm going to leave you. I have a command for you. I want you to love one another. I don't think Peter heard that. I think he just preoccupied with the fact that Jesus is going away, and he can't go with him. And he's anxious, just like a little boy. You've heard the little boy, Daddy, I want to go with you. And Peter is still a little bit like that. He remembers how Jesus had said to the Jews, who were trying to arrest him and hold him in prison, clear back in the 7th chapter and the 33rd verse, Jesus said to them, I am with you for only a short time, and then I will go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but will not find me, and where I go or where I am, you will not come. He said that to those Jews who were persecuting him at that time. Very blunt. You will not come. He said the same thing to the Jews in chapter 8, verse 21, in the midst of that bitter, bitter argument where they accused him of being illegitimate. We are not illegitimate children, they said. The inference between the lines. You are Mary's birth. You are illegitimate. Oh, what a low blow. But then they went on to infer and actually to state that he was demon-controlled. Jesus said to them there that day, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. Now Jesus is saying something that sounds a little bit the same way to the disciples, but it's not quite the same. There's one word of difference there. Jesus said to Peter and to the others, you cannot come now. You cannot come now. And then he goes right on to say, but you will follow later. That's the kind of thing he didn't say to those others. You cannot come now. I never like to hear somebody say, my dad's not a Christian. I always say, add the word yet. My mom's not a Christian. Yet. My neighbor's not a Christian. Yet. Always put that in there. And Jesus is saying that. You cannot come now. You will come later. To that, Peter jumps to the conclusion that Jesus is talking about dying, just dying. And he makes the remarkable, remarkable statement there, I'll go with you. I'll go with you into death. I don't care where you are. I just want to be with you. That involves my death. That's all right. I just want to be with you. To which Jesus, in effect, says, well, Peter, that's good. But it's much more important that you would go on to live for me, not just to die with me now. And Peter, you're going to face your own tests here within the next 24 hours. I'll take care of your dying when the right time comes for that, Peter. I'll tell you when to die. But just now, I want you to live for me, being my light and my testimony, becoming my pillar in my church, doing a little bit of writing for me. I have a lot of assignments ahead for you, and I don't want you to die yet. There are three principles of life or applications that I believe God is showing us here, and I want us to follow those this morning. The first, the desire to be with Christ. How much of a desire do you have to be with Jesus Christ today? I think we ought to ask that question. I think we ought to plumb that one and research it a little bit. How much do you want to be with Christ? And second, the things that keep us from being with Christ today. Why is it that Christ does not take you to be with Him today? Right now. And third, the guarantee that one day you really will be with Him. Are you sure of that? How do you know that you will one day be with Him? What's the basis of your confidence in that? First, your desire to be with Christ. Peter wanted so much to be with Christ that he was willing to die right then just to stay with Jesus. That's how much he loved Jesus. If you are not going to be here any longer, then I don't want to be here any longer. I just want to be wherever you are. Paul wanted that. He's writing to the Philippians there, in the words that we read a little bit ago in that first chapter. I have a desire to depart this life and be with the Lord, which is far better. Nevertheless, for your sakes, I'll stay right here. There are three things about Jesus Christ that cause us to want to be with Him. And all I have to do is just refer to this, and many, many of you know this, and you can think into it far more deeply. And those of you who don't know this yet, look forward to it, because you can discover this in Jesus Christ. First, His love. It's so perfect, and it's so pure, and it's so consistent, and it's so stable.
It's always there. In spite of the fact that he knows us, as only God can know us. He knows everything there is to know about us. And he still loves us? I can't get over that. I can't get over that. And I don't know of any growing Christian who just sort of takes that. Well, sure, that's true. Nuh-uh. You don't do it that way. He knows you and me and what we do every day of life, what we think, as well as what we say and do. And he still loves. That is amazing. And then he lets us communicate that love to other people. It's not just that he loves us, but he actually loves other people through us. That is another amazing, amazing thing. That love will one day eclipse all other loves. I've said all along that Margie loves the Lord more than she loves me. And I have to love the Lord more than I love her. But until this week, I never really got around to thinking about what that would mean if his love for her were to call her to be with him before he calls me to be with him, or vice versa. Would I argue with God on that? Well, I want it. With my will, I want it. I want her to love him more. And if in his love he calls her before he calls me, I don't want to argue. I have the impression I will. I just know my weakness. And because of his love, we want to be wherever he wants us to be. And his light, it's through him and his word that he causes us to see him and to see ourselves, to see a solution to the difference between what he is and what we are, his holiness and our unholiness. And the more clearly I see these, the more I want these to be separated, until he says, hey, I have a solution to that. What I did on the cross is the only thing that can resolve the difference between myself and yourself. I don't say forget the difference. I say solve it. It's the only solution. And he enables us to see that, to see ourselves as he sees us, and to begin to see him and his holiness. He enables us to see other people and to recognize their needs, and to see the solutions to the enigmas and the impossibilities of light. In his light, we see light. We can begin to see and to understand. And then his life. He said, I'm come that you might have life. I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he's talking about energy, initiative, optimism, long-range vision, strength and power to keep on keeping on. In our hearts, we know that the only place where we can find that kind of love and that kind of light and that kind of life is in the person of Jesus Christ. So we want to be with him. Because of those things, we want to be with him. We have known him as a man of sorrows. We have known him as a sacrifice on the cross. But now we want to know him in his glory, in his exaltation, in his heaven, in himself. We want to know him. We want to be where he is. I don't know how you measure the degree of your own desire to be with the Lord, but it's important that you do some research on that. Are you growing in your desire to be with him, to be with Christ? But that second one is important too. Why can't I be with Christ right now? Why doesn't he take me to be with him right now? Peter wanted to go be with Jesus right now. And Jesus had said to the unbelievers that they never would be with him. Period. You cannot come. Period. But he said to Peter and to these others, you cannot come with me now. But you will. You will follow me later. I think there are two reasons. Oh, there are lots. But there are two that I'd like to comment on this morning. There are two reasons why he does not take us to be with himself right now. One of these we see very clearly there in Peter himself, because we need to go through some testing of our faith, some spiritual growing up to do. In Judges 3, God left the five rulers of the pagan nations in Israel, in the country, in that geographical vicinity there, to test the Israelites who had not experienced the wars, to teach warfare to the descendants of Israel who had not been in previous battle experience, to see whether or not they would obey the Lord's commands. The Christian faith is a living faith. It's new in every generation. It's full of love and life and light, and it needs to be communicated in that way in every generation. Peter just wasn't ready yet. Oh, he's saved. If God had allowed him to die at that instant, he would have gone into heaven. But he's still very immature. On the way into that room that night, as I said before, they'd all been arguing about who's going to be number one as soon as Jesus is gone, who's going to be the chiefest. He had a lot of growing up to do. And Peter did not recognize Judas as being evil. He was not discerning of evil, not willing that Jesus should die on the cross, not wanting Jesus to wash his feet. He just couldn't see the principle of Christ's kingdom that said that the greatest are the lowliest, that the highest are the least, that the most important is not the man who does the serving, who is served, but the man who does the serving. He who loses his life is the man who will find it. Not those I'm over, but those I am under. I'm better able to hold them up than they are to hold me up. Not that I am over them, I am under them. I'm better able to minister to them than they are to me. Peter hadn't learned that point yet. Peter had a spirit of self-confidence and self-assertion and ambition. I think he was a big fisherman. And he probably had a big voice to go with that big frame. And he was very assertive. And to all of that kind of thing, Jesus said, "No, Peter. No, put up your sword. It's true that someone else will die with me tomorrow. But it will be a condemned thief. It will not be an assertive, self-confident disciple." First, you've got to learn to live for me. And then you can learn to die with me. You're still too strong in your own self-confidence. Reminded of the way God took Gideon down there and out of the 33,000 men, any of you fellows afraid, go home. Without a blush, 22,000 of them walked off. God said, "That's still too many. You'll still claim the credit. If you win with that many, I'll have to pare them down to 300. He's saying some of those same things to Peter. You have some things to learn. You have to learn how to trust and to have confidence in me and be my disciple. You're still too strong in your own assertion. When you've learned these things, Peter, then I'll come and I'll take you to be with myself, but not now." And so Peter was humbled. In the hours immediately following this, Peter was humbled. It was the servant girl's questions that humbled him. And in those bitter, bitter hours, he learned about himself and he learned about his Lord. And he becomes as a little child, not childish, but childlike. And so must you and I be humbled by failures, by betrayals, by the pains and sufferings. And then when we come to the end of our rope, then Jesus said, "Now, my timing, and I'll take you to be with myself now." Second reason why we can't go to him right now, because of those Greeks. Remember, that's what started this thing clear back there in the 12th chapter. Those Greeks that came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Jesus leaves us here to be his witness to the people who are saying, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." So we can be a living demonstration of what it really means for him to fall into the ground and die, to do God's work God's way. Not the way we think it has to be done, but his way. The same way he did with the disciples, the same way he wants us to be doing with one another. To be brokenhearted. Now is my heart troubled, broken, because of these souls that are asking the question. To be confident that now is this world conquered, judged. Now is Satan cast out. Not at the end of the world, but now. To be confident, heart's troubled. Falling into the ground to die, heart's troubled. But still confident. He is the victor. And to be trusting in his light, and to be walking in his light, and to be becoming his light, and to be humble enough to let him wash my feet free of the daily sin, not too proud to ask his forgiveness, and to be willing to wash someone else's feet, and then to love others as he loved us, with that command and that principle. And that promise. So for these two reasons, Jesus leaves us here to glorify himself. Because there's a need for some growing. And because we are his witness. What a horrible place the world would be if every time someone became a Christian, it was the elevator straight up to heaven instantly. Where would the witness be? You've been born to reproduce, as Dawson Trotman would say. You've been born again. You've come to know Christ. In order to be his witness as well as speak his witness to those around you today. Every once in a while we get tired and we want to quit. And then it's nice to say, "Well, I just want to be with Jesus." That's laziness. That's a cop out. He says, "You don't leave until I'm ready for you to leave. There's a witness here. It's my witness through you to my world." So the Apostle Paul said, "Nevertheless, for your sakes, I will remain." Now we go to that third point, the guarantee that you one day will be with him. How do you know you will be? What's the basis for your assurance on this subject? Because he said to Peter, "You cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." It's not because you've grown up into some spiritual maturity now. It's not because you've helped some other Greeks come to know Jesus. It's simply because Jesus said, I like the New King James Version there, "You shall follow me later." In the next chapter, the 14th verse, beginning in the first verse, we hear him saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." I want you to be with me. I am going to take you to be with myself. The NIV says, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Not because of what we've grown up into, not because of those we've led to the Lord, but solely because of who he is, and because that is what he's like. It's his grace. He loves us. He wants us to be with him. Those who have trusted in what he did on that cross to make things right. And we can know of God's desire for us to be with him as an absolute certainty because he put that desire in our hearts. He's not going to put that desire there without giving us the means for accomplishing that. He'd not put it there. And we wouldn't want it if it were an utter impossibility. That's the meaning of the reference in the psalm. The lion's young may hungry be, and they may, I've forgotten how that goes. How's that go, Dean? They may lack their food. Seek the Lord. Thanks, Bogie. My memorization needs to be sharpened up some. But he says, I put the appetite in the lion, and I'll provide the food. They that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. I'm fascinated with what John Gerstner said about the study of the word seek, as the reformers had worked, Jonathan Edwards especially, seek, those that truly seek the Lord. I can't think of it in any terms other than a heat-seeking missile that zeroes in on the heat from the exhaust of those jets. And God puts the desire in the heart of a person, and he provides the means for the accomplishment of that. Augustine said, Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless. They find their rest in thee. And Pascal, who was the intense student of Augustine, put it in the terminology of a physicist. He said, our hearts are made in the form of a God-shaped vacuum, and nothing can satisfy save God in the person of Jesus Christ. Your assurance is based, Jesus said, on my own resurrection also. That's another factor. And my written promise. If I could be raised from the grave, then I can raise you from the dead and take you to be with myself. And that's what I'm promising to do here. You cannot follow me now. You have some growing up to do. You have some Greeks who need to see me. But you shall follow me later. I want to make one more application of this just to sort of wrap it together for each one of us. I say again that for some of you, this is just a closed book. You're just too young. You can't possibly think forward to the time when you're going to be lying there and you'll call your family in and tell them that God is going to take you. The day you bring your wife, your husband, your children, your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law in and say to them, I'm going to leave you. You're going to look around in a day or so and you won't see me anymore. I'll be gone. My little children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, but not see me. The first thing I want to say to you is love. It's a command. It's a principle and it's a promise. This command I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the thing that's new about it. As I have loved you. Command was there in Leviticus and Deuteronomy as we talked about it last week. Command had always been there over and over again throughout the Old Testament. But the thing that's new about it is that you've seen it in the flesh right in front of you in the person of Jesus Christ. New command given to you that you love one another. As I have loved you, so I want you to go on. Don't quit that quarreling. Love one, about as practical as you can get, isn't it? As a parent is leaving the children behind. This is a command. This is a command. The first thing I want to say to you is to love one another. And the second thing is this. Much as I have loved you, I have loved the Father even more. I look forward to being back with the Father. Are you going to be ready to say that? Much as I have loved you, children, I've loved you. I've given my life for you. But I have loved Jesus even more. As he went to be with the Father, so now I'm going to be with him. And I really want you to look forward to the time when you'll be in the same position. And that love is a higher calling. I still remember as we knelt there on both sides of the bed as Dad was dying. And I had said to the doctor before, when does he stop hearing? The doctor said, no one knows. People have been almost dead and then come back, and we discovered that they'd been hearing everything we said in the room. Watch out for that. No one knows. So one of us, holding one hand on one side and the other on the other, said, Dad, we love you. Dad, we love you. But someplace in that conversation, another voice was louder than ours and said, I love you up here too. I'm calling you now up here. And that's what Jesus heard as his life was programmed by the Father in terms of that time and timing. And that's what you're going to have to communicate to your children. That there is a higher love. That you love Jesus much as you've loved them. You've loved him even more. And there's a guarantee. There's a guarantee. There's a guarantee. I will come and receive you to myself. I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be with Jesus. Because he said, you shall follow me later. Not because of anything I've done. But because my trust is in him. And because he said that. You shall follow me later. I will come and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. As it was with Jesus and his Father. The Father in heaven, I mean. And his disciples, his children, so it can be with you and with your children. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate perfect love and perfect life and perfect light, to be that love and life and light among us here on earth. Thank you for this very touching and moving scene. God, thank you for teaching us how it is that we can relate not only to you, but also to our children. As it was between you and the Father, so we desire that it would be between you and us, and then between us and our children. God grant that we would teach them what it means to love you that much. And to be willing to wait until you want us to be with yourself. And to be very content and happy with that, no matter what the pain or the price. And yet also to have the confidence of knowing that we will be with you simply because you said, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. God, we desire that our lives would be programmed by you and would be a demonstration of you in the lives of all those around us. Now, Lord, hear the prayer of any person who is sitting here this morning who's not sure of knowing you and of that personal relationship with you. God, hear their prayer as they would pray something like this. Father in heaven, I'm not sure that I know you the way that man's talking about it. But I want to be sure of that. Forgive me for not pursuing this before now. Forgive me for being different than you are. As best I know how, I hereby trust in what you have done for me on that cross to make everything right between you and me. Instead of trusting in what I can do for you to make things right, I just hereby trust in what you have done for me to make things right between us. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. Now I thank you for hearing this prayer. Father in heaven, hear that prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In closing this morning, I'm asking that we'll sing 73C. And this is not the one called for in the bulletin, but it's the one that occurred to me this morning as I was reviewing what God had put in my heart. 73C, stanzas 9 through 11. Yet evermore I am with thee, and thou holdest me by my right hand. And he goes on to put the words there that have the thoughts that I believe fits what Jesus was teaching. 73C, let's rise to sing. Immediately after the singing of this psalm, we'll remain standing for the benediction, and then immediately after benediction, we'll sing the stanza that at the bottom of the bulletin page. Grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.